Welcome to the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast. Today's episode is a little bit of a different one. I am doing my first ever Ask Me Anything. So I've done all sorts of Q&As around certain topics here on the podcast, but today it's pretty much a free for all. I asked my Instagram followers what sort of questions they had for me, and I have got quite the range, everything from religion to homeschooling to insurance, work, homesteading tips, homesteading with kids, cooking. We're going to cover all the bases today, and it's going to be good. I'm your host, Jill Winger, and this is the podcast for the trailblazers, the mavericks, the makers, the homesteaders, the modern pioneers, or the backyard farmers. If you're ready to boost your food security and live a more homegrown lifestyle, well, this is the place for you. This episode is brought to you by Union Wireless, who I am very proud to have as a sponsor this month. Union is a small town company that began over a century ago when one man recognized the need for Wyoming folks to have dependable communication and decided to do something about it. Sounds like my type of person. Ever since, Union has been providing both rural and city folks alike with landline, cell phone, and internet options. I adore salt of the earth companies like this, and while I know that not all of you listening live out west, if you are in Wyoming, Northwest Colorado, Utah, or Montana, I highly recommend checking out their website at unionwireless.com to see if they are available in your area. All right, so this is raw and real. I literally have all the Instagram questions pulled up on my phone right here next to me with my cup of coffee, and I am going to be going through them as many as we can. And there's a few that I think will be awesome standalone podcast episodes. So if I didn't get to your question, it may be because it's coming in its own dedicated episode. But I love hearing your guys' question and your questions and getting your feedback, because it just really helps me know how I can create content that better serves you. So without further ado, here we go. Ask Me Anything number one. Is the home you're renovating going to be a farm store? It is not. It's actually, at this point, we're planning on it being a rental, but I don't know what it could be in the future. Maybe an Airbnb, maybe something else. I don't know. But right now it is a rental. Okay. What health insurance do you use? I got that question a couple times. So since we are self-employed, and we have been for 5 years now, we buy our own health insurance. And the reason we do that, even though it costs money to buy your own health insurance and is not a bill I love to pay, we follow the Dave Ramsey method. And I remember way back in the day when I was reading Dave Ramsey's materials, he explained the importance of health insurance and budgeting that in, even if it is painful to pay those premiums. Because if you have a catastrophic medical emergency, it can break you financially. And we've actually known folks who didn't have health insurance, some crazy accident happened, they had to, you know, be in a helicopter and they had to stay in ICU, and the bills were just horrible, just devastating. And so Christian and I knew, really, even way back when we had health insurance with an employer, that we always were going to prioritize that just as a safeguard to protect our assets in the case of some crazy thing happening. So we buy our own health insurance. Like I said, it's not my favorite thing to spend money on, but it's something that is protecting what we've built so far. So that's why we do it. Training a new barn kitten. What are your tips? Oh man, I have no tips for barn kittens. I literally turn them loose and hope they don't die. Is that horrible to say? Because that's what I do, though. I make sure they have food and water. Well, the kids do that, actually. And then they just live on the hay. And that's about it. There's not a whole lot of training involved, but they usually fend for themselves and do pretty good. How did you get over the ick factor of processing animals? Or did you have that problem? So for me, I did a whole episode on like the emotional aspect of butchering an animal you've raised. So you might go back and listen to that. I didn't have a huge ick factor per se, because I have a strong stomach, and I've worked as a vet tech for 2 years before we started the homestead. And so I've seen a lot of things. And I would say my one thing I don't have tolerance for is maggots. I will not go into those stories. I will spare you those details. But thankfully, when you're butchering a chicken or a pig, there should not be maggots. And if there is, you have a problem. But anyway, when we are processing an animal, I just think through it more. I guess I go into science mode. And especially if my kids are there, we talk about the parts of the animal. We will show them the different, you know, dissection pieces, just like we were doing that in school. And so I just kind of take myself out of the situation and go, this is a heart, this is a lung, this is the muscle, this is not gross, this is part of the animal, we all have heart, lungs, muscles, this is not something that's bad. And so I just kind of talk myself through it like that. But I know everyone has different tolerance levels for different smells or sights or things. So I would say give yourself grace and just one step at a time. Okay, did any of your parents ever help you out with finances? No, they did not. Christian and I do not come from wealthy families, and I don't think I would be offending any of our relatives who might be listening to this if they were to hear me say that. We don't. We have never inherited money. We've never had our parents help us with really much of anything financially, which, you know, honestly, as a young adult, when I would see my peers getting a lot of windfalls from friends and family members, I felt a little bit weird about it. I'm like, man, I lucked out. And I didn't get, you know, to be born into this family who could help me out financially. But I'm actually really thankful for that because it has made Christian and I scrappy as heck. And man, if there's something we want, we go after it. And we never have waited for someone to come dole us out money or a handout in order to get that. So it's been good. And honestly, I want to recreate that for our children. Even if we're in a different financial position than our parents were, by the time our kids are older, I still want my kids to work for what they want because it's really, really important, that personal responsibility and that idea of, hey, if you want it, it's on you to get it. Okay, oh, my phone shut off. I have to get back up to my questions here. Okay. What part of Wyoming are you in and would you choose to live anywhere else? We are in the southeast corner. I would say I'd like it here, but if I could live anywhere else, I think I would go up to the Sheridan, Wyoming area. I really like it up there. It's beautiful. I like that town. So that would be my dream location, or somewhere in Montana with lots of mountains. Either one, but we're not planning on moving anytime soon. How did you get started in homesteading? So I would recommend for that question, it's kind of a long story, go back to episode 1, and it gives our full rundown of how we started this whole crazy thing. Are you Christian or religious at all? Okay, I got this question a couple times. I've actually been getting it a lot. I've been getting a lot of private messages about this. So I never talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it. Okay, here we go. Yes. There's a reason I don't talk about this. Let me explain. I am a Christian. I consider myself a follower of Jesus. I had a very toxic upbringing in the Christian church. It wasn't great. I grew up in a very prohibitive, is that the right word? Strict, stifling wing of the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And that was my life. Like, church consumed every part of my life growing up. It was all we did. It was a huge, huge part of my existence. And it also was toxic. I'll be honest. There was pieces of it that weren't good. And it have affected me to this day. So I kind of went through a faith transformation when I hit about 25. And I'm actually still going through that faith transformation. Asking questions was never something we were allowed to do. And so finally, when I, you know, was in my mid-20s, I'm like, I'm going to ask questions. I don't want to explore things and figure out why I believe what I believe. So I have been on quite the journey with my faith. And there's a reason I just don't talk about it publicly a lot. I talk about it with my close friends. Friends I trust, friends who are willing to sit in the gray areas with me and sit in the unknowns and be willing to discuss instead of have black and white pat answers for everything. But I don't talk about it publicly very much because it's still a very tender part of myself. There's still a lot of things I'm working through, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And to be perfectly honest, other Christians in our area have not been very kind to us as we've gone on this journey. And I know I'm being very bold and very blunt here, but I just want to say it like it is. And I feel like that's a part of myself that I still want to keep private and just deal with and process with my close friends and family. So that's why I don't talk about it a lot online. Like I said, I am a follower of Jesus. I find myself these days, basically, like Brené Brown talks about, I'm in the wilderness, not in the bad wilderness, but in a place of where I don't fit into boxes and labels very well. I am too conservative for my liberal friends and too liberal for my conservative friends. So I'm just doing a lot of exploration and reading, and I'm in a very good place. I feel like my relationship with God is where I would want it to be. He is very close. I don't feel lost or wandering, but I feel like it's more on a grand journey, a grand adventure, and I like it. So that's where I'm at. But that's why I don't talk about it a lot either, because especially in years past, it was a very raw part of myself that I just didn't want to have examined in the public light, if that makes sense. Okay. Next. How many different streams of income have you or your husband created? A bunch. So let me think here. The blog, which entails things like everything from banner ads, as far as income goes, to sponsored posts, to YouTube videos. It also included doTERRA. doTERRA was a really big income stream for us, and it still is. Kind of back in the heyday when essential oils were first hitting the internet, we were one of the first to talk about oils online. So doTERRA was a big piece of that. And what else? Coaching. I coach folks in blogging and in homesteading. So that's a part. And writing ebooks and courses is another piece. And our most recent income stream is our cattle. We've started this commercial beef herd. So we have a lot of irons in the fire, which is how we like it. But I also love that diversification. Okay. What is the worst kitchen fail you've ever had? Oh man, I've had a lot. I would say the two that stick in my mind. Number one, I blew up a pumpkin pie once. Like I exploded the sucker. It was in a Pyrex pan and I had, still makes me sick. I had all the supper ready. Like everything was ready. It was on the stove. And I pulled this pumpkin pie. It was the last part of the supper. I pulled it out of the oven and I set it on top of the stove and I didn't realize that the burner was still on. And I set it on a burner. And Pyrex, in case you didn't know, doesn't do so hot on direct heat. It says on the bottom of the pan, do not use on a burner. Well, you know, you can imagine what happened. The Pyrex pan burst and exploded and it spewed pumpkin pie guts all over the kitchen. And then the glass from the Pyrex went into all of the pots and pans of the rest of the meal. So we went from having, I think it was like a Saturday night. I had this big meal for us. Like it was almost ready to be put on the table. And then we went from that to like nothing to eat. So that was epic. And then the other one that sticks in my mind is when I exploded a bottle of blueberry water kefir and it went all over my ceiling and all over the walls. And it looked like I had murdered someone because the blueberries, like the blueberry bits were all over. So, and it was sticky and, you know, sweet, sticky water kefir. That was super fun to clean up. So those are my two most notable, I would believe, but I've had lots. I mess up a lot. Okay. Will you be planting potatoes in the same spot next year? And do you crop rotate? Oh, good question. I haven't thought that far ahead. I do crop rotate in my garden beds, but that potato strip, it might be a little tricky to plant other things there. So I'm going to have to do some research to see if what else I could plant there. Maybe we dig up another row like that and switch it around. But hey, I need to think that through. So good question. What's your best time for caring? Or I think it's your best tip for caring for an infant while working on the homestead. I also had this question about toddlers. I would say when it comes to kids on the homestead, and I have a couple podcast episodes about this, take them along with you and let them, invite them to be a part of what you're doing, even if they're an infant. And like, man, when my kids were brand new babies, I had this big old jogging stroller with the big wheels, and I had all these little snowsuit things that, you know, they were really warm and lots of blankets, and I would bundle them up and they were outside with me constantly. And it makes me think of this piece of advice my grandpa gave my mom that she has relayed to me, and it stuck with me for many years. He said, when you have your children, let them fit into your life instead of you fitting into theirs. And I know that might honestly rub some people the wrong way because we live in a very child-centered culture. And trust me, my kids are super important to us, obviously, and we spend devoted time with our kids. But I would say a lot of the time, the kids come along for the adventure and they get to be a part of something bigger. And the biggest mistake I see parents making, at least what I believe is a mistake these days, is they spend so much time hyper-focusing on their children. And hear me out before you're like, oh my gosh, she's saying to ignore my kids. I'm not saying that, but there's way too much child-centeredness, which I think creates monsters as well as exhausted parents. And I see a lot of moms around me who just are laser focused on their kids. Like we go to the playground and they can't even hold a conversation with another mom because they're so worried if Johnny's, you know, climbing up the right steps to the slide or is sitting on the right place on the merry-go-round. And I'm just like, you know what? I understand wanting to keep your kids safe, and I do want to keep my kids safe, and I am watchful, but sometimes you got to let them make mistakes, and you got to let them figure it out. And oftentimes they do that best without us hovering. So I would say, that's my own little, I kind of went on a little rant there, but when you're taking your kids out on the homestead, sure, you got to feed them and you got to get them naps and all that, but then bring them along. Let them be a part of what you're doing. Invite them to be a part of the process. And toddlers, infants, whatever, it's amazing how quickly they adapt to that and how much they like it. They like it. And I'm a much happier mom when we're outside doing something versus me sitting in the house staring at my kid, waiting for them to cry or waiting for them to need something. So that's my soapbox on that. Might be slightly controversial considering our modern day climate, but that's what I think. So there you go. Okay. What type of pressure canner is best for newbies? I am always going to recommend the All American. I like the one that holds 7 jars. It is dependable. It's a workhorse. You don't have to have the gauge checked every year because you have the double gauges. It's fantastic. What are some staple items to can from Garden Basics? Tomato sauce would be my number one. You can do that with a water bath canner. Pickles, or my other one that would be a great water bath canner option. Green beans, if you have a pressure canner, because they're low acid, or you could do dilly beans, add some vinegar, and then they'd be safe for water bath canning. Those would be my kind of staple standbys. Looking here. How do you keep up with weeds in the garden? So I do have another episode on that, but I think my biggest tip would be mulch, and cultivate, which means instead of waiting for the weeds to take hold, you are working that soil, even when it looks weed-free. You're out there just hoeing it or digging it, and you're just cultivating before they start to germinate. And that has been my best little trick. Have you ever pasteurized your milk? What are your opinions on it? I have not. I do not pasteurize our milk. I am a huge fan of raw milk. Again, there's another episode on that. Sorry to keep saying that, but I have a lot of episodes in the library, so go check them out. I love the benefits of raw milk, which is really the reason we started milking our goats and our cows. So I would say if someone's really uncomfortable with raw milk, you know, feel free to pasteurize it. It's a free country, but for us, it's not something I've ever felt a need to do. Laundry detergent used. So I have made my own laundry detergent in the past. The recipe is on the blog. However, it kind of stopped working after a while. We have really hard water. And so I ended up switching over to doTERRA's laundry detergent. I have done doTERRA forever. And I use all their oils, and they have a essential oil based laundry detergent that works good. So that's what I use right now. Will you do a video of you canning something, both kinds, or 2 videos for each? Yes, we actually have a jam canning video coming to YouTube here in the next couple of weeks. And if you really want the in-depth videos, like walkthrough of me canning everything from start to finish, I have the Canning Made Easy course, which is over at learnhowtocan.com, and it's got all the stuff. So that one's super helpful. Do you get tired of cooking? Yes, I do. I love cooking. I love it. I teach people how to cook, but sometimes I still get tired of it. Like right now, it's summer and we have 4-H and horses to ride and gardens to work in and projects going outside, and I really don't want to be in the kitchen. And so, you know what? I'm not in the kitchen that much. We're eating very simply. Tonight we're having eggs and Swiss chard from the garden. We've had some sandwiches. We've done some, last night it was taco salad, which is super easy. Like I'm just cooking simple. I'm not doing crazy bread making. I'm not doing crazy cheese making. And you know what? I don't feel guilty about it because I will cook a whole bunch in the fall and winter and spring. And right now I'm just enjoying our short little Wyoming summer. So it's okay. I do get tired of it. Sometimes I just pull back for a little while and then I pick it back up with all the zeal in the world once I've gotten over my little kitchen burnout. Okay, next. Any no sugar added jelly recipes? Yes, if you go to, oh man, what's the address? theprairiehomestead.com/jam. I have a free no sugar jam course, and you could also get all the details for that over at the Canning Made Easy course, learnhowtocan.com. I read somewhere that you're from southeastern Idaho. What town? So I'm actually from North Idaho, but my family, kind of both sides of my family, are from southeast Idaho. So my dad grew up in Mud Lake. Some of you will know where that is. It's kind of ish near Idaho Falls, kind of. And I am from Moscow, Idaho, originally, which is up in the panhandle. So I still love Idaho. My parents live there and my sister lives there, and I love going back to visit. What grain mill do you suggest for a newbie? I would say there's a lot of good ones, but I have a Nutrimill. That's what I've had forever, and they're really good. I've never had an issue with them, so I think they would be awesome. What precautionary measures do you take when your heifers have their first calves? So we try to use bulls that are low birth weight bulls, which means they're rated for having smaller calves. So we don't generally have to have as much issue with the calves getting stuck or needing C-sections. And then we don't have to worry about our milk cows as much. They birth like crazy. They're just old, good old mamas, even the heifers. But with our beef cattle, Christian, when we're calving heifers, he's gone. Like he is camping in our horse trailer near the heifer pen, and he's checking them all hours of the night. We tag team with the friend who we lease land from. But it's a high stress time because they need to be watched. And there are times when we have to pull them. We didn't have to do a lot of C-sections this past year, but you know, occasionally that happens, but it's definitely something we really keep a close eye on. What was it like when your first dairy cow gave birth? What did you do to calm your nerves? It was actually really easy. Like I said, the dairy cows tend to just, the babies just slide on out. Not that every single time every cow will do that, but we've never had issues with ours. I would say, I don't know, the more you watch them, it seems like the longer it takes. So I try to go out, I don't know, a couple times a day just to check, but then know that often they do it when you're not watching. But it is very exciting. I know the feeling of that anticipation, and feels like it's never going to happen. What are the best homesteading activities to start if renting an apartment? I always recommend the food. Start with the food. So what can you make in your kitchen, whether it's mastering bread or canning or fermentation or little basic cheeses? If you can start figuring out those kitchen techniques, it's going to set you up really, really well if you ever end up getting a bigger homestead. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you stay in your apartment, but you find different sources for cheese or milk, and learning what to do with all those things. You can do that in anywhere you live, no matter how big or small your kitchen is. And that's a whole lot of homesteading right there. I'm getting a lot of questions about my daily schedule and homeschooling. And so know that I'm going to be doing some dedicated episodes on that. So stay tuned. What's the one farm chore you hate the most? I'm trying to think. I actually don't really hate any farm chores per se. I like feeding, I like milking, I like gardening. What do I not like? I don't like putting laundry away, but that's not really a farm chore. That's a house chore. I hate putting laundry away. I also hate putting clean dishes away. Is anyone else like that? I like filling the dishwasher with dirty dishes, and I like washing the dirty laundry, but then when the stuff's clean, I'm just like, meh, boring. I don't know. Weeding gets old, I would say. Now, right now, my weeding feels pretty manageable because I'm following the zone method that I talked about in an episode a while back. But when I get out of control with the weeding, I tend to get sour on it because I just feel like I can't catch up and it's really discouraging. So I would say that's the one that I dislike when I get to that point. What is your favorite recipe from the cookbook? Oh my word. People always ask me that and I don't know, you guys. I like all of them. I think the crusty Dutch oven bread is probably one of my top favorites. And that butterscotch pudding. That one's one that I really like. Okay. How many people are hired to help you? Husbands, kids, and farm. So yes, I do hire help. That's one of my secret weapons is using the money we make in the business to invest back into hiring folks to help us scale it even more, which that was a hard, hard lesson for me to learn because I'm like, my first thought with everything is I can do it myself. And the truth is I can do it myself, but doesn't mean I should. So we started hiring assistants or babysitters a number of years ago, even before it really felt like, I mean, we had profit in the businesses, but I didn't really want to spend the profit on employees. But when I chose to do that, even though I was like, ooh, ouch, it helped us to grow more quickly. So it's this weird balance that has been really good. So we have a babysitter that comes 2 partial days a week. She's actually here right now. That's why I'm in the office recording this podcast. And that enables me to come in the office and hammer it out. Like I work like a crazy woman, writing blog posts, recording podcasts, answering emails, working on launches, coaching my clients. I do all of that while she's here. That's a game changer because I don't feel guilty now about being in the house, trying to work. The kids need me. I'm ignoring them. Like that's a bad vibe. It doesn't work for mothering. It doesn't work for business. So when I can come out here and hardcore focus, things get done. We also recently hired someone, we're calling him our hired man. He won't be here forever because he's going to probably move on to other ventures, but he's amazing. And he helps us with fencing and well, just everything. He's been helping Christian with cattle and fencing and building. And it's been incredible to have an extra set of hands. And he's, you know, skilled, right? He knows how to use a drill and a hammer. And so Christian can leave him alone to do projects. And that has greatly helped us this year. Like I said, I don't know how long he'll be with us, but we're really enjoying him while we have him. And as far as online, I do have a number of assistants. I have Chris. If you've ever sent me an email, customer service related, you've probably talked to Chris. She helps me with posting on social media and keeping track of a million different things. Can't really operate without her. She's my brain. I have an assistant who helps me work with different companies. So if we have sponsorships or we're working on a promotion with a different company, she works with them. And I have a couple other gals who help me just keep track of social media comments and blog comments and Instagram comments and messages. So I need the team, honestly. And people all the time say, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I'm like, I have help. That's really the secret sauce is I hire help. And that's the only way I could do all this is I have a team behind me. And I think that's really important. I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm superwoman because I'm not. Okay, I have time for 2 more questions. How do you stay in community while homesteading in the country? Great question. And that's been a journey for us because initially when we were in this area, there was not really anyone our age, definitely no one with kids our age. And there was some dry times where we kind of felt like we were all alone as far as peers or people to hang out with that were in similar life situations as us. We recently have had, and I would say recently, the last couple of years, there's been more folks our age who've moved into the area, and that's been amazing and wonderful. And we've really started to invest in those relationships, which has been life-giving, to be honest. just to have folks who, you know, we don't have to always hang out with people who are just like us. We like to hang out with a lot of people, but it's really refreshing to have friends who have children, you know, in your same age bracket and who are in similar life stages. So I would say when you're living rurally, you have to be a lot more intentional with building community. When you live in town, those opportunities are everywhere. And here we have to really cultivate them and be choosing to get together, because it's all too easy to just go about our daily lives and just kind of forget to have people over or to get together. So it's been a choice to invest. And so we get together with them sometimes twice a week. Right now it's every Thursday and every Sunday. And it's just one of those things we had to prioritize. It takes more work, but I feel like the relationships are richer because of it. Because we live isolated, we have each other. And it's caused those relationships to get deep and meaningful a little bit more quickly, which I love. But it's a balance. It's tricky sometimes. Okay, last question. What advice would you give to a young person wanting to get into homesteading? I would say, number one, start learning about food. Get in the kitchen and start learning how to cook and create and bake and knead and ferment and can. And then immerse yourself with as many knowledgeable mentors as you can, whether that is shadowing people or doing workshops or asking questions. You know, I think often if I were getting into homesteading, like I got into homesteading when I was married with children. And so that's been a little more limiting on who I could go hang out with, right? But if I was getting into homesteading as a young married or unmarried person, man, I'd be like, who can I go intern under? Can I go to Joel Salatin and intern under him? Can I go, you know, can I go and offer to work for someone for a year and learn what they know about permaculture or different gardening styles or things like that? I would just go immerse myself as much as possible. And don't be scared to get out of your comfort zone and get in those situations where you are a beginner and be willing to learn. And I think, man, the sky's the limit. That's super exciting. Whew. Okay, friends, that was super fun. We'll do that again. Once I collect some more Ask Me Anything questions, we will do another episode like that. But we were kind of all over the place. It was a blast. So thanks to everyone who submitted questions. And for those of you who I didn't have time to get to your questions today, we'll grab them on the next episode, or you might find a whole dedicated episode to that topic. So stay tuned. That's all I got for you though. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch up again on the next episode of the Old Fashioned on Purpose podcast.